perfect framework, the one you have mentally constructed for yourself. For example, if you find yourself in a room with a group of people whose values are apparently different from yours, then perhaps their jokes will be a little too raw for you, or their ideas of fun might appear to be different. What do you do now that you're there and in that environment? For whatever reason you got yourself in there, now that you're there, do you do as the Romans do, since you are in Naples? But obviously not, because this is not going to be very good advertising for you. You are seeking the approval of others in order to have a relationship with those others, but certain others. And if these people in this particular group do not live up to your standards, they are not the certain others whose approval you're seeking. And whatever their reaction is not really important, just so long as they don't decide to lynch you in the process or something, which, again, you must recognize as a possibility and protect yourself against, or some degree of that. Those who you want to associate with are not going to respect you. In fact, they'll have no reason to respect you if you are less than that person that you idealize. Don't say, well, I have to be this way while I'm in this environment. I have no other choice. Well, in the first place, if you take that attitude, you're probably not even going to get the opportunity to say that to the people that you would want to hear it. They're never even going to find out that that's your justification. But even if you do get the opportunity to say to someone you would like to associate with, well, I have to be this way while I'm in this environment, the obvious answer is, how do I know what you would be like in some other environment? Why are you even in this environment in the first place? You don't have to be. I'm not. And another fallacy that ties in with this, I think, is the I know why I'm here, my eyes are open fallacy, meaning that it is all right for me to be in an otherwise wrong environment, just so long as I understand why I'm here, how I got here, and what I intend to get out of it. I'm willing to pay the price for something I want, in other words. And since I understand it well, I don't have to feel that being in this wrong environment is going to distort my values or depress me or whatever. Well, all of that may be well and good, but what is it going to do for your advertising campaign? What about those people you've been trying so hard to get to eventually to deal with? They are not going to look for you in that environment. And this brings us to another important ramification, perhaps best introduced by the statement, I'd wash dishes if it were necessary to make a living. Well, is there anything wrong with washing dishes for a living? Of course not, unless, of course, there happens to be a better alternative available to you. But how do you determine that better alternative? Let's go back to Howard Roark again, because his fictional example illustrates so many beautiful points, I think. You remember, he was quite willing to work in a granite quarry in order to get enough money to just live. And it didn't in any way distort his values or cause him to reappraise his views of life. But at the same time, he would not build a building for someone from a set of values other than his own, no matter how much he would get paid for it. He could work in a granite quarry, digging rock in the right way to dig rock. But he couldn't build a building in the wrong way, meaning apart from the way he subjectively wanted to build them. Because poor architecture most assuredly would distort his values, and more important, it would have made it impossible for him to ever find the people who would pay to have him build a building correctly. Now, this was a very practical decision on his part, not an adherence to some stoic mystical code. He was not living up to some false concept of the way he should be. He was recognizing the reality as it was and acting to get the consequences he wanted. I had a similar experience myself not very long ago. I was offered a job giving sales training on a permanent basis for a mutual fund company on a contract basis that wouldn't even take all of my time. I enjoy giving seminars on salesmanship, although I enjoy this kind of a course more. But I was happily giving seminars in salesmanship at the time this came up, giving them to other companies, of course, within a very limited market, those companies that wanted the particular kind of sales training I had to offer. But there were two good reasons for my not taking this particular contract that was offered. Number one was that part of the training was to qualify salesmen in order to get a license from the government. The second reason was that I became aware in the conversations with the management of the differences in values between myself and the management of this company. Even though they had heard my approach to sales training in an actual seminar and said they liked it, it was obvious that they viewed life differently from my view, that they were basing their